One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. And listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for coming back. Thanks for telling a friend. You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. To my left is Dave Callens.
Hello.
And right in front of me, our sound engineer, Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
Not so good.
We almost all didn't make it.
We record this show in downtown San Diego in the Gaslamp area, and
pretty remote place, kind of out in the boondocks, middle of nowhere, right?
You probably never heard of it.
It's very much like downtown Philadelphia. So,
except with less assholes.
Yeah, less. Well, that's debatable. but on our way in, we realized that they had blocked off all the fucking main streets next to where we record.
They must have been an emergency, right, Ryan? Was there a
block
gas
off
leak?
All these streets?
You'd think so, because I mean, on a Sunday in
maybe a
downtown,
mass shooting. What could have possibly caused this?
You'd think so. If they were going to just go ahead and commandeer many streets in the sixth busiest city in the U.S.
There is no worse class of person in humanity than a marathon runner.
Yep.
You should probably reveal that it was.
That's what it was.
It was a fun run. They're doing a fun run. I realized this after I zigzagged down many streets and paid to park on some monstrous structure, then promptly forgot where it was. That's going to be a fun walk trying to find my goddamn car.
What are you, five?
I was so focused on
your car.
He's already three beers deep. You know he's going to have an issue.
Hey, come on. I'm way more beers in than that. No, I just was so focused on getting here and so flustered. But by the time I zigzagged down like four streets, I went, holy fuck, where did I just park?
That's such a bizarre idea to me.
And here's the fucking thing. This is what pissed me off most. As I'm walking over here from where I parked, wherever that may be, I noticed that the majority of the fun runners, the marathon runners that I see, they're not running. They're all sitting at the outdoor cafes drinking beers and eating fucking shellfish. Like, do we really need to block off all the streets for that?
You know, it'd be great is if he actually did park here at Horton Plaza and then he just walked like four blocks, got lost, turned back around, and made it back.
No, just picturing he accidentally got mixed in with the marathoners. He ends up with a finish time of 2 hours, 32 minutes. He's like, wow, that's pretty good.
I also raised about $800 for AIDS.
Listen, everybody has their own sports. Everybody has things they like. You want to go run 26 miles? I'm all behind you. Way to go. Good for you, guy. You know, I like shadow boxing and you know, hitting a heavy bag. I don't shut off the street in front of my house to do it, though. Like, I don't bring out the heavy bag, sit in the middle of the number two lane, and just start going to work on the I-8.
I used to use that exact same analogy when I was a theater major at SDSU, because I could not stand these fucking kids. I don't know why I chose that major. But being a theater major, this is what it's like. You're sitting there, you're eating a sandwich, or you're doing some last-minute homework, and all of a sudden the girl or guy next to you just starts going, wait, she will see what you are. I will win back my bride. And starts like doing like hand gestures in your face and shit. And when you tell them to shut the fuck up and have a seat, they try and tell you like, this is my passion. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta tell them to shut the fuck up theatrically.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta shut off a few roads.
I gotta go fucking crochet a costume, come back with some sparklers and jazz hands, and be like, shut the fuck up.
It is funny, though, that it is like, you know, we accept certain things. Like, if you have I used to live here downtown, and when we'd have a baseball game in our downtown stadium, it was annoying. There was some traffic. It was an impedance.
That's put extra traffic.
Right.
That's
same thing with football. You'll drive by, there'll be extra traffic. And I'm sure in cities with basketball as well, same thing, extra traffic. That's annoying enough. That's right. Kind of like, oh, God, I got to plan my way around it. But when they actually shut the street down, and not just one street, like half of downtown, half of the metropolitan area of downtown. And I approached a cop at one point. I was like, how do I get around? Oh, they're like, oh, you're lucky. We just opened Broadway. You can make it around. And I was like, what would you have said if I came here a half hour ago? Yeah.
Can't do it.
Sucks to be you, nerd.
Dude, my fun moment was when I'd finally gone like six blocks out of my way. I'm still looking for a right turn somewhere. Where every right turn is blocked off. So I get stopped where there's a stop sign. There's a traffic cop with a whistle directing traffic. So he's right next to my car. I'm like, hey, bro, I'm on 6th Avenue, by the way, just to set the stage here. Hey, how do I get over to Horton Plaza? He's like, oh, you just turn right on 6th. And it took a second for that to sink in. And I'm like, really? Because
you should have just mowed him down. Just kept going through the barrier.
As I'm saying this, he's already whistling at other people. He's fucking gone. I'm like, what the fuck? That helped me zero. You told me nothing.
Fucking hate anyone with a whistle. Anyone with a whistle I've never liked. Have you ever met one person with a whistle and been like, cool guy? Never once. It's happened zero times in the history of man and whistles.
That dude in Tijuana who comes up behind you with the tequila.
Don't like him.
No, I don't like him either. Because then, because to an 18-year-old Ryan, it was awesome for about 8 seconds till I was informed I had to pay for that. And I had $20. Yeah, that was not cool.
$20? You could be the president of Mexico for that.
That's right.
Jesus.
Oh, not the way I party. So anyway, speaking of whistles, you know what? The most obnoxious thing you could possibly do, I know you guys don't have kids, but I have a girlfriend with a kid, and if they ever go off to a party and the parent throwing that party decides to give them gift bags that includes a whistle, mm-hmm. I stare at them on the way out as she walks out of that party just blowing it continuously. I've known this kid since he was 10, and we'd drop her off at a party. She'd come out, and you just knew what your car ride home was going to sound like, and you just look at them like, I will fucking get you back for this. I don't know why you did this to me or why you thought it was a good idea to give my child a whistle, but I will fucking kill you.
And yeah, I'm still stuck at gift bags. Where the fuck do you go to birthday parties? West Beverly Hills?
No. You know, they have those little bags, like little trinkets in them and stuff. I don't know.
I like how old man Dave is coming out. What are you kids doing with your cakes and your gift bags and you're not getting beat? What's going on?
Well, back when Robert and I were young, they began doing this practice, which I always did find weird, to be fair to you. I always did find it weird that part of being at a birthday party is that you get something from the birthday host.
Do you get that first? Because I would just regift that to the kid. Here you go.
Here's your cheap ass little fucking spinner back.
You're doubly screwed because there's no upside to the whistle. There's the downside of being constantly annoyed by like the blowing. They're like, well, I guess the upside is she's slightly better at blowjobs in the future. She's trained herself. Jesus. There we go.
Do you know how blowjobs work?
No, I'm not sure. Wondering. Ryan keeps trying to teach me.
To be fair, I'm using a carrot. Okay, let's just. This isn't the. This is. It's a dry run. Okay, it's a dry run.
Well,
okay,
it's true. But he's got a carrot in his ass the whole time.
Going back to birthday parties, though, having one at my house today. Yep.
What kind of gift bags you got, Big Shot?
The pinata is gift bag enough, in my opinion.
Every gift bag is just full of like a dozen whistles. Like, here you go, asshole.
Yeah, every whistle I've confiscated from her over the years, I've compiled, and now I'm doling it back to those shitty parents that gave them to her in the first place. Enjoy. Anyway, but Aaron's throwing the kid a big 14th birthday party at the house. Got bouncy house, all this shit. Now, here's the thing. I know when Erin is going to throw a party for her kid, my life's about to become a fucking nightmare because she works herself into these frenzies, these fucking, like, oh my God, everything has to be perfect. You'd think that every time she does something for, and not just for the kid, for me, for anyone, she's a very generous person, but you'd think that every get-together is like someone's send-off party before they go into the Marines. It's like, oh God, what if we don't have enough chairs? What if we don't have enough of this? What if there's not enough ice? Oh God, if there's not enough ice. And like,
oh my God, I cannot wait until you guys get married. Your wedding day is going to be amazing.
It's going to be crazy.
It takes all the fun out of it because she's screaming at everyone. And here's the fun! Yes!
She's whistling in everyone's face.
She's got her like drill sergeant whistle from when she was in the fucking army. Yeah, she gets in these frenzies. And the biggest mistake that anyone can make, and I certainly make it too, and I know she is that you shouldn't get too caught up on what your vision of any day will be like, because if anything deviates even slightly from that, it's a huge disappointment and a fucking emergency. So, I mean, if it's like, oh, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to hang the piñata from there. Oh, my fucking God! So like, I'm like, well, we could just hang it from over there. That's not how I visioned it! And also, because I'm not working myself into the same manic frenzy she is, she's pissed off at me constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like,
you're the enemy.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'll mow the lawn and I'll go ahead and set up the tables. And then after that, I'm like, my job is done. I sit down, but she's like, there's floors to be scrubbed. There's walls to be maintained, repainted.
Even if there's nothing for you to do, your actual job is to match her stress level.
That's exactly. Right.
That's your
Thank
job.
Thank you. It is exactly that. Because I'm not freaking out, I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
I have a theory about this. I have kind of like
hate the kid because you're not having an aneurysm.
Evo Devo theory about this. I think
the fuck is that?
I don't know. Just let it go.
I think with women especially, there's a lot of developmental psychology that looks at the idea that women need to kind of like make political relationships among one another, and in hunter-gatherer society, that's how they establish their power and stuff. You know, you would make alliances, you'd make friends. That's why that kind of social interaction is so important to women. I have this theory that like the idea of the party is them demonstrating their social worth, and therefore they get way more stressed out about it than we do, who just think like, oh, this is a good time.
And exactly. And you know, I think there's an extra tier to that with Erin, because she is from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't realize the people that are coming over are a bunch of 12 to 14 year old girls who are just going to be running around yelling and shoving food in their face. They don't give a
they'll
fuck.
They'll also be judging.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She sees it as like southern old ladies with floppy hats coming over, yeah, going, did you see the dust in the corner? I heard she was a drunk. So she's really like, she's waiting for that judgmental, social class to come over. But really, we could have fucking peanut shells and cigarette butts over the floor. These kids would not care.
This actually directly happened to me. When we were planning my wedding, my fiance started planning it, as is usual, as is typical.
She set up all the zombie weapon courses. Yeah. She was,
oh, you mean the one with no smoking?
Yeah. Yeah, she started planning it, and then partway through, like she just started getting super stressed right in the beginning. She was getting crazy stressed. And by the way, those companies are designed to make women feel that stress. Like those wedding companies, they're designed to be like, oh, are you sure you only want the gold package? Your friends will be talking about the platinum package.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that they use to push this guilt on them. And within like 2 weeks, she was so riled up, I was like, all right, I'm taking over.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. I will give everybody out there, even if you hate the degenerates, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that will make listening to all the episodes worth it, because this will save you tens of thousands of dollars someday. If you plan your wedding, when you call up to get subcontractors, don't tell them it's a wedding.
Oh,
just
yeah,
say
absolutely.
It's an event, and you will knock 40% off the top price right there.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, what's the gift bag situation at your wedding looking like? Am I getting something good here?
Oh, you are.
Crossbow and a katana.
There's a make-your-own stone tool station, so you can come out with like an obsidian blade. There will also be some glasses.
Just watching Shore's eyes glaze over right now.
There will be some glasses, and if you happen to be one of the people who wins one of the events, like killing the mammoth with the atlatl or one of the archery events, then you will also get a prize.
All right. I would hate to think I'm going there just to see my friend get married.
I know. That would be so
lame. Enormous waste of time.
Yeah, we're there for the event.
But yeah, this birthday party, she crossed the line finally. She's like, also, because my friend Carlos is coming over to help me tend grill. He's like, I'm just like, yeah, come over, we'll drink some beers, we'll grill some burgers for the kids. She's like, also take it easy with the drinking. And I went, excuse me?
Pulls out a beer bong. Oh, I'll show you easy.
Yeah.
It's like the record scratch.
As right? Easy as this high gravity? Yeah.
I'm like, well, I cancel the pony keg then, shit. It's like, but there's not going to be a lot of adults there. I'm like, that was for me.
Listen, I'm going to say something. This is going to sound sexist. I think that one of the reasons couples compliment each other well is whether you're a male and a female or like two gay dudes or two lesbians or something, there is both sides of that relationship. There's the side that gets way too stressed out about parties and the side that probably doesn't get stressed out enough. And it's our job to kind of like sweep in when your gender role presubscribes it. It's not just for women either. It's for men too. Like think of every dude you know who's a jackass who when he was in his 20s would start a bunch of fights and get into a bunch of shit. How did he finally calm down? He got a goddamn girlfriend who stood in the middle and said, sit down.
Sit down or it's fucking over.
That is your job as a good partner, as a good girlfriend or wife, is to get there when your idiot husband is trying to do some stupid shit, get in the way. Same thing is true with men. It is your job to get in the way when your wife or girlfriend is being an idiot and flipping out about something that doesn't need to be flipped out about. It's your job to get in there, put the hand there, and go, hold up, babe. This is not the fight you should be picking right now. Well, and you're embarrassing us, and you're about to get your ass kicked.
Poor choice of words, but yeah, the sentiment is the same. Intact. The thing that women and men are different on is because what they will see when you're not showing as much enthusiasm for it is, I don't care.
Right,
so
right.
In their eyes, it's because you don't care. You don't care if the kid has a good birthday. Of course I do. I'm $300 deep in presents right now that I fucking got for her. But like the thing
it's
is,
it's amazing how many whistles you can buy with. Oh, God damn it, Dave! Stepped on my sweet whistle joke.
You'll get your another chance. There'll be plenty more ins for whistle jokes the tenure of this podcast. What they see is, I don't care. What I see is, to a 14-year-old who is just very – every 14-year-old is self-centered. And all they – once you reach a certain part with the party – more won't make it more special.
Right.
Once there's the bounce house and every one of their friends and cake and tons of presents, then more will just be wasting it, you know? Like, for instance, Dave, you're an alcoholic like I am.
Absolutely.
Once you get to a certain level of drunk, you're just wasting alcohol at that point because you're just going to a darker spot.
You're talking about normal.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. So once she's reached a certain part with this party, I'm like, it's enough. She is going to be ecstatic. She's had a sleepover the night before. It's going directly into her Sunday party with a bounce house and all this shit. No, we need special types of chips. We need special
types of... Yeah, you reach that saturation point where it's like, okay.
That's when you need to step in and be the girl who's stopping her boyfriend from getting into a fight. You need to step in and you need to literally be like, listen, this isn't sexist. I would expect you to say the same thing. But sit the fuck down and calm down. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Do it.
Yeah, already I got in trouble. She's like, because we had a 16 chairs or something, and she's like, what if one person doesn't have a chair to sit on? And I just said, well, fuck him. Yeah. He can stand. Yeah, that did not go over as swimmingly as I thought it would. No. Another thing I wanted to mention is our brother in comedy, Mr. Cat Williams, is in a bit of hot water.
Why you got to call him brother?
Because I got in awful big trouble for the N-word last week. Oh, no. So, Bobby, you've been following me a little bit closer than I have. What's been going on with Cat?
Dude, Cat Williams. He's my favorite new thing. Like, every 3 days, my Google News feed pops up and says something about Cat Williams in the news.
Yeah.
It's like you get a text from, like when you were in your 20s and you got a text from an attractive girl. You just see it pop up and you go, oh, this is going to be good.
So yeah. It's like your news booty call.
It is my news booty call. So, Cat. Kat, if you guys aren't familiar with him, Kat is a
bit of a loose cannon.
Let's just call him an eccentric comic.
Yes. He marches with the beat, set in his ways.
He is a tiny black man who is a little bit out there.
And dresses like a cartoon character of a pimp.
That's true. And there's a bunch of great stories throughout Kat's history of all these hilarious things that he's done, like just kind
like
of ridiculous, off-the-wall things.
Just going off on rants, diving into the audience, walking on stage. He's kind of like the comedic equivalent of Axl Rose in the early 90s, where he'll just walk out there and be like, fuck, and just throw the microphone down, storm off, and cause a riot.
I mean, I think it was 2 years ago he got in trouble for punching a Target cashier while checking out.
Yeah. Is that frowned upon?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was Target, so maybe he was just aiming. But he's had a few of those. He's had a bunch of
Is he like the Gigi Allen of comedians?
He is, and he hangs out, or at least he did before the arrest. He hung out a lot with Suge Knight, and they were like buddies, and they went around. There's this great video of him fucking up at a show in Oakland where he gets into it in a huge stage. He's probably got at least 5,000 people in this thing, and he starts getting into it with a heckler from the stage and starts like screaming at him and then goes out and tries to fight the heckler, just stopping a 5,000 person show.
As one does.
Yeah, and Suge Knight had to step in and be like, come on, little man, let's go. And
when Suge Knight is your voice of reason.
Right!
Oh, this is a guy that runs over people in his Escalade because he feels like it.
So anyway, that's all leading up to this. That's
the wristband. What would Suge Knight do?
That's all background to this.
Face on there.
So the shit started hitting the fan again recently in the last couple weeks. It started in like Georgia, where a cat got into a dispute about 2 weeks ago with a pool supply cashier. Apparently cashiers and Cat Williams,
they get so uppity.
They do not get along together. And Cat Williams bought a bunch of stuff. There was some kind of altercation and Cat struck the pool supply employee.
So, I'm picturing it with one of those foam pool noodles.
Right. One of the things I like about it the most is they have a video of him afterwards talking about it. And he's like, Cat Williams has to do what Cat Williams has to do.
Which is punch pool supply employees.
This is the wrong chlorination level. So he had that. And then he was going around. I think he was also still in the South when he was approached on the street by a group of women. And we're not talking about like young. They look like 30 to 45-year-old women.
Gross!
I'm just saying, like, these aren't wild and crazy chicks hanging off. I'm like, okay. Like, these are a group of women came up to ask for a picture with him. They did. Something happened, and at one point, him and his posse took out their guns, held them at gunpoint, and took their wallets and phones.
It's a fair trade. You get a picture, I get your possessions.
Do they get to keep the camera?
It's not so much getting a picture as getting to have a picture for a minute or two. When he takes the phone away.
Can you at least post it on Instagram so people know I'm not lying?
Tag me.
And then
the fact that there's even an and then is just hysterical to me.
Then Kat was at a rap show in Philadelphia.
Is the Kevin Hart thing relevant to this?
Oh, I'm sorry. So, yes, he's also during this time. This is right after he had just announced some feud he has with Kevin Hart, where he announced him to come out to a competition that was kind of like a decathlon of competitions, right, in which they competed in stand-up comedy, boxing, I don't remember what the other one was.
Probably
jousting.
Chess was in there.
There was like
juggling.
Maybe it was improv or something. There was like four different things, and basketball, I think, was one. He was like, we'll compete at all of them or some of them, $1 million apiece to whoever wins.
Yeah. I only watched the video once, so maybe I don't have it right in my head. But the way that I remember watching it is like he was naming things off. Like, we could compete at boxing.
Yeah.
We could compete at basketball. We could compete at comedy. But then he's like, we're going to do all of it. Like, he was naming them off at first, and he's like, all together.
Oh, he said you could do – he actually specified you could do all of them or one apiece. Each is $1 million, up to $5 million, because there were five
Shoots
activities.
And ladders. Who can open the best establishment?
You'd think with Cat Williams and Kevin Hart, one of the events should be getting the cereal box off the top shelf.
Limbo. No, but so he got into that dispute with Kevin Hart. And then just recently, in the last week after the pool incident and the robbery of the ladies incident – he was at a show in Philadelphia at a rap show.
How is he allowed at a show in Philadelphia after the gun thing?
It's Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
He was at a show in Philadelphia, and he was clearly very, very intoxicated on something much stronger than alcohol. And he was sitting up on stage while the guy is doing his show. He's like
there's a whole group of people up there.
Right. There's a bunch of people up there. He's up there, and he's like mad dogging and making fight poses.
He was
and
doing
stuff.
Like a Street Fighter. Like he was
right.
Dalsim. He got down in a crouch and kind of.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing non-realistic fight poses,
right.
Like video game fight poses.
Yeah.
And then at one point, I guess at the end of the show, you see him, and he just crouches down and does. What I was actually pretty impressed as a pretty decent, like, Superman flying elbow. I mean, granted, the guy wasn't looking, but
yeah.
Flying elbow or flying
like
punch,
10 feet,
hard
launches
to tell.
Himself.
Yeah, hits a dude, takes him down, and then that guy's posse was less happy about it than Kat apparently thought they would be, and they were all surrounding him on stage, so then they all beat up Kat pretty well.
His own posse?
No, the guy's posse.
Oh, okay.
The rapper's posse, who he flying jumped. There's another great video of him right after that altercation sitting with a huge broken hand in a Denny's talking about how...
Could he punch the Denny's employee? Could he? Hands broken.
My favorite part is like his whole take on it kind of seems to be like, hey, I just fought my way out of that situation.
Yeah.
Not like I sucker punched a guy.
I can't even eat my moons over my hammy.
And then I think just right after that, recently in the most breaking news, for that, the cops went to his house and then he got arrested on gun and methamphetamine charges. And
that's a shock.
Yeah.
You know what Cat Williams is? I know we've all had this friend. You ever have a friend that is like the very tiny, insecure scrapper?
Yes.
And he keeps cashing checks for you?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Especially when you're Suge Knight.
Yeah. Right. That's what made me think of it. Like, I had a friend back in the day called, his name was Johnny. He was a tough guy, but he was a shorter guy, littler guy, and, you know, he could fight. He had some martial arts background, but his three best friends were myself, who's 6'1", my friends Sterling and Dan, who are both 6'4", and built like brick shit houses. So every time we're at a bar, at first we're like, hey, someone's fucking with Johnny, let's help him out. Then it became, why don't people always fuck with Johnny? He's always coming up to us, like, this guy just threw a sucker punch out of nowhere. And so finally, we stopped helping. Finally, because he would seriously cash checks. Like, yeah, fuck you, faggot. Sure, Sterling, Dan, get him. Like, no. I'm done with this shit. We've been in a dozen fights because you can't stop running your mouth. And he would always have it in his head. And maybe this is – he wasn't on methamphetamine, but maybe this is a little bit part of Cat Williams' deal. He always had it in his head that people were out to get him. He's like, see that guy? He's looking at me because I'm short. He wants to fuck.
Persecution complex.
He thinks exactly. He's a martyr. He's like, yeah, that guy's he's mad dogging me because he thinks I'm short so he can treat me like a bitch. We're going to show him otherwise, right? I'm like, first of all, his back is to you.
Yeah. That's disrespectful.
Exactly.
Second of all, that's a chick. Yeah, no, I think that exists in some segment of the population. And what's funny is those guys will always be thought of not only by themselves, but by anybody who walks through that situation as the bullied, as opposed to the bully. Even though they are starting the fights, they are the one going up causing the altercation. Anybody walking by casually will always be like, oh, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Bobby's victim shaming.
I will victim shame. Have you ever been kind of accused of that without any just cause?
Oh, I victim shamed last night. I straight did it. I work here. Someone comes running to the bar. They're like, oh, we had to send someone to get some fucking medicine, whatever. This chick has a mango allergy, and somehow the drink got mixed up. She drank a mango margarita instead of a regular margarita. And so everyone's concerned, and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? Find out what drink it was, like, because we didn't know it was margarita, what it was, because we have a couple drinks that have mango. I'm like, find out how this mistake happened. Someone let me know what the drink was. So a few minutes later, I find out, oh, her friend at the table got a mango margarita. She got a regular one, and they got mixed up. And I'm like, wow, hang on. If you're out with a group of people,
right,
and you're allergic to mangoes, and someone at the table orders something with mango in it, that is on you to yeah. tell the server, be careful with this.
Right.
Yeah. As they hand you the drink, are you sure this is the right one?
How about the person with a non-allergy tastes both real quick?
Or how about the person at the table doesn't order a fucking mango drink?
Yeah, there is.
So,
yeah,
I think I'm shaming the shit out of that person last night.
I thought it was going to come to the point where it's like, what drink was it? Well, she ordered a mango passion, and it was served in a hollowed out mango with a big slice of mango on it, and she went, oh, is there mango in this?
But that's going to be that little guy who always goes, and I think part of it is the fact that we live in a society that will see that altercation later outside and be like, oh, that poor son, let's go stick up for that little guy. He's getting bullied by that big giant dude.
So what you're saying is Cat Williams is the victim here.
Yes.
I did have a situation like that. I was living in Ocean Beach. I was walking back from my friend's house, who lived on the other side of that town than me. And as I'm walking past this house party, I see this little dude, Cat Williams size, pint size, with dreadlocks. And people are throwing him out of the house. Like, he's getting his ass kicked, right? And like, they throw him in the alley, and I see people walking in after him. So I'm like, I'm not a superhero, but I do not want to see this little guy get stomped to death. So I walk up, I'm like, hey, buddy, you okay? He jumps up and throws a swing at me. I'm like, hey, no, I'm here to help. He goes, faggot. I'm like, I see what happened here. I see what happened here. But he kept coming, and this group like that was following him out was just making sure he left and didn't come back in. So finally, I'm like, hey, will you
– So Shore's participating in hate crime.
Will you stop with your friend from doing something horrible right now? And so finally, he won't stop, so I had to just beat the ever-loving shit out of him. So – and this is my favorite thing that ever happens with a drunk guy who's starting too much shit when he gets his ass kicked. After I had bloodied his nose, I had him in mount.
Oh, I know where this is going.
I let him up. I'm like, all right, relax, dude, relax. He gets up. He asked me if I want some more, bitch.
Oh, I hate that. That's the fucking worst.
Because it baffles you. You have no retort. Like, you don't even have the presence of mind, because it surprises you so much, to go, you just got your ass kicked. Some more of what? Your mouth just hangs open. You're like, what? Yeah, bitch, you want some more of that? I'll fucking kill you. I made you my bitch just now. It's like, you were in mount. You're full of blood.
He's going to tell the story tomorrow.
No. Interesting story. Ran into the next week. He came up to me and apologized. he said that he's been making amends and has found the program. So anyway, happened with that guy. His name was Justin.
I had an interesting one that was kind of like that. When I was in college, we were having a party at my fraternity. I was walking outside. I wasn't on duty anymore. You know, you have certain roles. You're on door duty or something for a little while. I'm off duty. I'm just walking.
I wouldn't know anything about college. Duty.
I'm just walking by, and my buddy is running the door. By the way, just kind of somewhat out of nowhere, but you'll understand why it's funny later. He's an Arab dude, and he's running the door. And as I'm walking by him, this really tall, big black guy is stumbling up our steps, kind of runs into a few people and tries to force his way in. And the guy was like, oh, hold up, buddy. Who do you know? Talks to him a little bit. He knew somebody in the fraternity. He's like, listen, you're a little too drunk right now. You can't come in. We're going to get in trouble. You can't come in. And the guy's like, fuck you. And he pushes him and tries to walk in. And I was right behind him, and he's like, Bobby, stop this guy. And so I just picked him up real quick, you know, just picked him up, walked him, literally picked him up by the waist, walked him outside and set him down. What I didn't realize is he was ready to go, so I picked him up, I set him down, and he just starts swinging. Just the second his feet touch the ground, he starts swinging. What he hasn't put together, because he's so drunk, is that I have picked him up from behind in a suplex-like position and set him down. So it's essentially like a wind-up toy that you have set down on the ground, and he just starts walking forward away from me on our porch, swinging wildly.
At no one?
Oh, there's a lot of people on the porch.
Oh, wow.
He's angry at me, but he has not put two and two together that I'm behind him. Decks a chick. Just decks her.
And then Dave pops out of the planter bush and goes, shouldn't have been standing there. Right. Victim shaming, right. Boom, classic Callens.
So it's as if somebody took a wind-up car, set it on the ground, and it just randomly ran into an innocent civilian who was just sitting there texting on her phone, right? And so now everybody's like, oh, my God. And I picked the guy up again. And this time I walked
in. He aimed him at a different chick.
This bitch said no last week.
This time I walk him to the sidewalk, throw him out on the sidewalk. He's smart enough. This time he turns around, and I was like, all right, you got to get the fuck out of here. I'm not in charge of the 30 people in there who are going to beat the shit out of you when they find out you just knocked a chick out. You got to get out of here. And instead, he comes back at me. So I just popped him real quick, just popped him twice and stopped him. And I was like, listen, you need to get out of here. You need to go.
Sir, please lie down.
Sir, sir. And out of nowhere, my buddy, who has seen this now, and he's a little bit over-exuberant. Now, granted, this guy was being aggressive, but he was a little bit over-exuberant. I was trying to calm things down. He just jumps in and starts beating the shit out of this guy because he came back a second time. Beats him up pretty good. His cell phone gets thrown away as in the melee and kind of get like jacked up and stepped on and stuff. And eventually I break him up. I sit the guy down on our porch. I'm like, listen,
you broke my singular wireless phone.
I was like, listen, it's okay, buddy. It's going to be fine. It's not a big deal. You're way too drunk. Let's get you home. And he's like, give me my phone. I gotta call somebody to pick me up. And I was like, all right. I get his phone. I actually have to reassemble his phone, like put the battery back in.
This is the black guy that walked up?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, sir, you're already a black man that struck a white woman. You're already in enough trouble.
Right.
There's a stigma in this society that I'm not in charge of.
To be fair, she was Asian. Worse. Yeah, no. So I put his phone back together. I give him his phone. I'm sitting out there talking. I'm literally warding people off. I'm like, listen, I know you want to hit this guy. He's a little drunk. Guy makes some phone calls. I go back inside. All of a sudden, somebody comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and they go, Bobby, we got a problem. I go, what?
He goes, he called in the cavalry?
The entire Berkeley basketball team is standing right outside, and they want to beat the shit out of you. And apparently, he had been a basketball player.
Fired for drinking.
He had washed out, but he had a bunch of friends on the team. So they all showed up, and all they heard is, all these fraternity guys just jumped me outside.
Oh, no.
And the worst part was, like, as I had been leaving this guy, I sat him down outside. As I was leaving him, he's still talking trash to me as I was walking inside, like, oh, you motherfucker, before all his friends arrived. Oh, you fucker and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'll just leave him. As he's doing it, two guys walk by with their girlfriends, and he's yelling. And
he punched both the girls.
And I'm like, oh, get out of here. And they look at me, and they're like, look at you racist motherfucker.
Oh,
shit.
No.
Not letting the black guy in the fraternity. I was like, first of all, it was an Arab dude who didn't let the black guy in.
Yeah.
And then he knocked out an Asian chick. So which one do you want?
Yeah, so that camel fucker in there is responsible.
Long story short, I had the entire Cal basketball team outside my fraternity shouting my name, wanting my blood.
How'd they know your name?
Because I sat there and talked to the guy for 15 minutes.
Because he has it embroidered on all his shirts.
He's like Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. I know on this show we've talked a few times about when we've been on the winning end of fights. And I think that's a douchebag move on our part because, you know, every time I hear someone's always talking about how many fights he's won, mm-hmm. I'm like, this guy's full of shit. Let me just throw in, just for the viewer's pleasure, one time when I was on the losing end of a fight, and it was completely my fault. I had just started doing amateur MMA. My two best friends just got out of boot camp from the Marines, and our other friend had just gotten out of jail. That's a completely separate story. We all got together back in Orange County, and add drinking and all these guys. Now, again, 20 years old, you think an amateur background with MMA, a boot camp with the Marines, and mm-hmm. a prison stay of 3 months
right.
makes you the baddest dudes on the planet. All four of you together drinking.
You're like the A-team.
Yeah, you really think that in your head. You do think.
Let's call it the B-team.
You really think in your drunk 20, maybe 19-year-old mind, like, who could ever fucking mess with this crew? So we started driving around in my truck. We have a cooler of beers roped into the back of my pickup truck. And we're reaching in through the little sliding window into the cab. It's a four-seater truck. Just driving around drinking them and just talking shit. We are yelling out the window. We're trying to cause fights because we're drunk. We're too overconfident, and we're 19. So anyway.
By the way, for everybody out there who's just thinking like, oh my God, this sounds horrible. This is why we need legalized prostitution. That could put an end to all of this.
Absolutely. And it needs to be affordable.
Afford hookers, exactly.
It needs to be affordable. I'm thinking back, I'm like, if we could have gotten a hooker, like, we would have to pool our resources.
Maybe it'll be like Obamacare. I get free health care now. So
it's like when you're 20 and you share a hotel room with eight guys. Same thing.
So what happens is at one traffic light, there's this like minivan of nerds. These guys are like, it looked like they borrowed their mom's minivan. We're flipping them off the way we've been doing everyone. Again, we are in the wrong here, okay? I realized that. I realized it the next day. It didn't take me 10 years. I realized it the next day. We're flipping them off. They flip us off back. All four of our doors open, and we start running up to their car. They speed through the red light to get ready to avoid us. Now, our confidence goes from a 99 to a 1,000. Now we're like, oh my God, we are the kings of this town.
We just chase those nerds away.
Yeah. So get to the next light in a very busy intersection. If anyone is from Orange County, it was on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa. It's a very, very busy intersection. We start flipping up some grown-ass men. These dudes look hard. The light turns red. The car stops. All four of our doors open. all four of their doors open. They are ready to back up their – by the way, we were flipping them off first. So I run at the guy, try to go for a Superman punch.
And Why? Nothing has occurred between you guys.
I know. Again
– Did you miss the first part of the story?
Do I have to reiterate that we were just being drunk asshole bullies?
All right. So you're running for a flying Superman. You're running for a Cat Williams.
I connect – He shakes it off, grabs me in a collar throw, throws me to the curb. My knee bounces off it, and immediately I just feel the pain shoot up my fucking side.
He's like, put your teeth on the curb.
I look up. My Marine friends are on the ground getting just hammer-fisted, and my fucking prison friend has not left the car. He's just like, holy shit.
I'm used to confined spaces. This is fine with me.
I'm used to sneak attacks. This is a little too... So anyway, we get our asses handed to us in the middle of an intersection with all the cars watching. Now comes when the light turns green. Everyone runs back to their vehicles.
Because how dare we disobey traffic laws?
Yeah, we don't want to like cause...
We'll randomly assault people, but traffic laws are there to keep society in check, sir.
We don't want to cause a scene.
You're getting Bobby worked up. Settle down.
So what happens is now my friend at the wheel, one of the Marine guys, he starts deciding, no, we have not lost this battle. He starts slamming my truck into the side of their car because it goes onto the 55 freeway. Now we're on the freeway.
Wait, he's sideswiping them?
Yes.
What?
Yes, and we're taking the empties from those fucking the cooler in the back of the truck, and we're launching them at the fucking car.
You're saying he made contact between your vehicle and his?
Yeah, how are you not following the story?
Okay, here's what he's doing.
This has gone to like a vehicular felony at this point.
Oh, it very much was, because we were all intoxicated, and they probably weren't. That's probably how they won the fight. Bullshit. Sucker punch. No, what happened is, you know the plastic that covers the wheel well of a car?
Yeah, you have those brush guards on the side.
Yeah, he's using those to bump their car on the freeway.
And what are they riding in?
I don't know. Like a
Camry?
Car?
Okay.
Yeah, so we have the superior vehicle power. So and we're just bashing our empty beer bottles on the side of their car. Now they know who they fucked with. But then we went back to the hotel we were staying in and nursed our wounds and tried to convince ourselves we were still badass, even though
you just pulled that bullshit move like, you guys want some more?
Yeah. That was what we did. Well, we didn't say you want some more. We wanted vengeance for what we got, even though we totally caused it. So my point is, if you're 19, drinking, and have just a small amount of like martial arts or training, that does not make you a badass. And even if it did, do not then try and flex your muscle. And here's why. Here's why the people talking shit always get their ass kicked. People think it's just karma. It's very much science. Is if you go out drunk and looking for trouble, the people that can't handle you will back out. They will.
Right.
But the person that does answer that call, he's answering it for a reason.
Yep.
It's because he very much can handle it, and you do not realize that. So that is when you will finally run out of luck.
Dude, the best intersection fight ever. So I was in Chicago. We lived in Detroit at the time. We drove to Chicago for a Rollins concert. After that, we're at a McDonald's.
Was it Spoken Word or Bronze Band?
A band.
Nice.
It was amazing. But we're in McDonald's like 12:30, 1 in the morning, just, you know, oh, that's so much fun, just looking out the window. Huge intersection, like 6 lanes one way, 8 lanes another way. All of a sudden, just outside McDonald's, this big fight breaks out. It's like 5 guys attacking one guy. The guy breaks away, starts running right through the intersection. One guy running after him catches him, knocks him down. He's punched on the dude in the middle of the street. Car comes by, smokes the aggressor.
Wow.
Guy bounces off the hood, flies through the air. The guy who was getting his ass kicked gets up and runs this way. The guy who just got hit gets up and runs the other way. And we're all just sitting here like jaws on the floor like, holy shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was like 2 Rollins shows. I mean, speaking of fighters, our boy Conor McGregor lost.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tough pill to swallow for me as well.
I hate that dude, so I was all right with it.
You don't like him. I love the man. As an Irishman, I just, that guy's my hero.
I enjoy watching him fight. I don't necessarily go for an individual MMA fighter. I like watching guys who can do cool stuff. I think he can do cool stuff in kickboxing. He's interesting to watch. I watched him dominate Nate for a whole round. He was doing really well, and he came in with just such sloppy stand-up, I almost thought he was injured. Because in that second round, he came after Nate within Nate's range, which is longer than his, and he kept his hands down.
That's crazy.
He gassed himself out. He even said he was not good as energy.
He's used to those punches ending someone his own size immediately.
Right. And he's also used to so he uses a technique that's a little bit different. So a lot of boxers will use length or range or stuff. He uses a kickboxing technique of kind of popping in and out of somebody's range and using the fact that he's usually much taller than everybody he fights and the fact that he can hide his kicks behind his punches to keep people off balance. He was fighting a superior boxer with longer range, and he tried to do the same thing. To me, that speaks of a very poor corner, because you need somebody in your corner to be sitting there and smacking you and being like, hey, this is not Frankie Edgar. This guy is not your size. He's taller than you, and he's a way better boxer. Put your goddamn hands up.
Yeah. And he's also better in jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
Conor has no ground game.
And endurance. He's got him in a lot of those
things. Yeah, it was interesting after the fight, because Conor was talking about that. He's like, yeah, I expended my energy. I wasn't good with my energy. He was. And Nate's reply to that was, I'm just a better martial artist.
Yeah.
But even further than that, Nate was talking about how the punches started to hurt less.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I got him now.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw when I was literally watching that with my fiance, Conor's winning. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And then he just starts literally walking right into his range with his hands down. And I stood up and I was like, something's wrong. What's going on? You can do that to some people. You cannot do that to one of the best boxers in MMA. I fucking hate the Diaz brothers. I am not a Diaz brothers fan. Give them their due. They're some of the best boxers in MMA. You can't walk in on somebody like that.
Yeah. No.
That was amateur.
The tide turned in that fight so quick. It's ridiculous.
I think it all comes down to overconfidence. And I think when someone's been so successful at what they do, they begin to think that everything I do is going to be right, no matter what that is. And that's not true of any human being.
Right.
You know, people are successful because they make the right choices. But at a certain point, they think any choice is right. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's what happened with Conor, I think. I think knocking out Aldo in 13 seconds really let him
That's interesting, because I just read an article, too, about how Conor McGregor is not a great fighter. He's a good fighter. And it sort of recounted his, you know, his rise through the UFC, a few fights, whatever. Nothing spectacular. And then it said the Aldo fight, it was like, I mean, call it what you want, but it kind of was a lucky punch. Aldo went in sloppy and got caught. Like, if that was an actual fight, it might have played out different.
Yeah.
And Conor thinks he's fucking amazing. Everyone thinks he's amazing. And he's actually just a good fighter.
I might agree with that in terms of fighter, just because we haven't seen him tested in metal on the ground in terms of jiu-jitsu.
Right. That was one of the points I made, too.
What I would say is he is a great kickboxer. There's no doubt. He is a great kickboxer.
Overeem is a great kickboxer. He's not a great fighter.
So to that extent, he is a great fighter. He might not be a great fighter in MMA.
Well, you know, I think that the public will always favor a better stand-up artist versus a better ground artist, because I mean, it's more exciting. You know, two guys hugging on the ground and just trying to like wait for that in snooze fest. And so, but
I mean, to me or you, that's fun.
Yeah,
as we're watching what they're doing. But
the average person's like, oh, come on, I want to see blood. That's a bummer. But you know what? He did take the loss a lot better than Ronda Rousey took hers.
Did she take that bad?
These are two people that were riding on top of the world. World. And they had
also both on the cover of EA Sports UFC game.
Right. And
so the curse continued.
Yes, it did. And, you know, Ronda threatening to kill herself? Fuck you. I think you said that best.
Yeah, that really rubbed me the wrong way, because not just because she felt like she wanted to kill herself, whatever. Depression is real. It happens. What rubbed me the wrong way is that it doesn't just manifest itself in an instant. Sometimes it does, but the worst part of that story is she said, I want to kill myself, but then I looked up, I saw my boyfriend, I realized I wanted to have his babies, I need to live.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You don't pull yourself out of legit depression by the
way, especially not for Travis Brown. Come on, have you seen that guy?
He looks like Iga.
Next time I'm sitting at home with a fucking box of razor blades, I'll be like, I want to have Travis Brown's baby. live.
You also have to understand that in a way, you're dealing with somebody who doesn't have those same coping mechanisms. Ronda was dominant not only in MMA but in judo.
The Olympics.
Yeah, for so long. It is hard to comprehend for your average person like us what it's like to be that dominant a competitor and then finally lose.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen those guys. One of the guys who was on my boxing team, he was a two-time national champion in different weight classes. I think he's the first person to do that since like the early 1900s. He was unbelievably talented. He also happened to be a three-time state champion CIF wrestler. He was unbelievable. I watched him lose a fight that he should have won. The judges called it for the other person. And I watched how it broke him. And I was like, I guess I'm used to losing. It would not hurt my feelings. But this guy has been nothing but a winner his entire life.
Right.
He is a state champion, national champion in combat sports over and over again. He beats everybody he goes in the ring or on the mat with. When you lose that, when that gets taken from you on a huge stage, that's something you and I can't really relate to.
And that's one reason. I hate McGregor, but I have so much more respect for him because of how he handled the loss.
Right.
Like, even in the ring, he's like, you know, I didn't do well.
And, you know, but the thing is, legit suicidal thoughts don't come from a disappointment, no matter how monumentous it is. Look at Jared the Subway guy, all jokes aside. I mean, he's not hung himself with his shoelaces. He's fucking lost everything. You know, he's lost more than Ronda Rousey did.
I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of things that would make you want to commit suicide if they haven't.
I mean, yeah, in your heart of hearts, though. I mean, yes, everyone would say at some point, oh, I want to kill myself. How many breakups have you, like, literally been like, oh, I don't care if I die? But, like, but in reality, when it comes down to, I think I could do this.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same thing. And
yeah, I agree.
Making it the same thing,
it trivializes legitimate depression.
There are people that are like, that have a chemical imbalance to where it hurts so much to be alive because their dopamine's not running right.
Right.
That, you know,
they're just going to get in a truck and start yelling fuck you to random strangers.
That was on a high of dopamine. I had too much dopamine. Yeah. And by the way, this woman who is like trying to be the ultimate feminist. You know, the ultimate, I'm not a do-nothing bitch. I don't live to fuck men. I live to be my own person. Coming in saying, well, the only thing that saved me from killing myself was I wanted to have a guy's babies.
The irony of that.
I love it. So, Dave, away from fighting for a second, I also wanted to run something by you. Did you see Jim Jeffries' latest stand-up?
I did not see it, but I went. He was in town a few months ago.
Okay.
And he went. He did a show, and he was amazing when I saw him because it was scheduled for a 90-minute show.
Sure.
Sold out. They added a second late show. Mm. So I was on the first show. He went 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So the second show started super fucking late. He went 2 hours and 40 minutes on the second show.
Jesus.
And the 2 hours and 10 minutes I saw, it was like 95% great. Like, I was never bored. I was like, this is really
fucking
good.
Like, can you imagine
having...
And as a
performer, to do fucking 5 hours.
Ugh.
That's insane. So I saw that, and that was great. I didn't see the special.
Even, like, as an actor, like, if you're in a long play, when the lines are written for you, you didn't even have to do that part or worry about the reaction it's going to get. Even then, what a gauntlet. But anyway, I just watched his new special. It's called Bear. Honestly, dude, let me sum it up for you. Cunt, shit, fuck, shit in a cunt, anal sex, fucker in the asshole, cunt sex, sex cunt.
Sounds like a Ryan Shore show.
How dare you? I never go that blue.
Sex cunt bouncer.
But honestly, it made me feel like every open micer that goes, oh, all you have to do is be super raunchy and that's how you become a famous comedian. I can do that. I was just so turned off by, like, I think that he was going for lowest common denominator because he thinks that's who his audience is.
It's interesting you say that because I love Hannibal Buress. I watched his most recent special. I was not impressed. And I feel like that's becoming – maybe I'm just noticing it more, but I feel like it's becoming more prominent where, like, successful comics just kind of put it on cruise control.
They coast.
They're like, I'm going to coast on my reputation.
Yeah.
My material is going to be shit. It's going to be weak.
Yeah.
But people love me, so they'll do it.
I have nothing to prove anymore because I already did this. Like, Hannibal Buress is like, I took down Cosby. What can I say that's wrong?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but yeah. I'm not a prude guy, and neither is Aaron. We turned it on. We love his blue comedy. But after, like, the third, like, him talking about getting feces in a vagina, I'm like, yo, come on.
Kind of covered that area, bro.
Like, come on, man.
Or even with, like, my fucking favorite is Bill Burr. I love that dude.
Yeah.
And his most recent special, the black and white one, everyone lost their shit over him. Like, it was good, but it wasn't, to me, I don't think it was as good as other stuff. Now, I'm not saying he was phoning it in. But it was the same kind of thing where, like, the more recent specials, I'm like, they're not as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
And I think you were mentioning about Louis C.K. You thought the same thing.
Yeah, I think that Louis C.K. made the same mistake that Conor McGregor made, which is that he was on this streak of wins where he was doing shit no one else has ever done. You know,
he set the bar fucking high.
He was a game changer. And he's
the one who came out with that whole new hour every year.
And it was working for him. And other comics like, man, I can't do that. And I think just like Conor McGregor went, oh, well, I'm bored now, so I'm going to do it like an hour every 6 months. I'll do 2 hours a year, whatever his game plan was.
On top of doing a TV show that he produces and edits himself.
And writes all the material for.
Right.
So I think that he's like, oh, I can just do anything and it'll hit gold. And then Louis C.K. at the Comedy Store came out, and that thing was dog shit. I'm sorry. A lot of people disagree with me, but I did
not like
it.
I haven't seen it either.
It was just kind of like him saying things. Like, in the whole hour, I laughed twice. And
are you sure you're watching the Tony Hinchcliffe special?
By the way, Bobby, you texted me a few days ago. Did some more shit go down with your vigilante justice incident?
You know, it's
incident?
Hard. It's hard to be the protector of my neighborhood.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But he makes it look so easy.
To have the responsibility placed upon my shoulders is always so difficult. Those of you who were listening 2 weeks ago heard that right before I got to the Degenerates on my way out, actually, I had an instance of street vigilanteism. I had a guy come park his car in front of my driveway as he got out, blocking it, by the way. Not like halfway in, blocking the thing completely so there's no way to get any one of the three cars out.
And for those of you the regular listeners, this is not a previous episode. It's just a recap.
Right. So he had done that. He parked there. He got out to go across the street. I was leaving in my own car. I'd already left, and I was pulling out, and I was like, whoa, dude, you can't park there. And he goes, it'll be just a minute. And then he walked into his apartment. I was so infuriated. I was like, I was driving off, and then I thought, I better give it what for. I want him to know he can't park there. I'm gonna go just mock him a little bit, yell at him. Got in his car, came back up the street. I was standing in the street to come talk to him and just kind of give him a little bit of lip. As he drives by, I reach into the car to kind of lean in and talk to him. He pulls away. I'm like holding the side of the car door. He stops 5 feet ahead, gets out, and storms at me and like pushes me and starts screaming that I hit him and stuff. And I was like, dude, if I hit you, I would have hit you. I'm not hitting you now. And also, by the way, we're not fighting in the street, which I think I told him a few times.
This is where marathoning belongs.
At one point I got collar control and I just like shook him a little and was like, we're not fighting in the street, bud. Like, yeah. It's just not going to – it wouldn't end well for you and it's not going to happen.
Ooh, didn't fight in the street.
Then at some point he announced he was an officer of the court and that he was calling the authorities. He sat there and didn't call
them. Which you counted with, please lie down.
Yes.
Call the cops from that position.
So he didn't. So he didn't call the cops. I came here. We had fun. The cops showed up at my house Monday night while I'm editing the podcast. It's funny. I'm actually editing the part of us talking about it, and a knock knock on my door. Cop comes in, takes my story. He's like, okay, yeah, why don't you give me your side? And I just broke it down. I was like, listen, bud, here's what happened. In fact, I don't even need to tell you. If you want to just put these headphones on, you can kind of hear the whole thing from my perspective. So I kind of gave him my little spiel and stuff. And halfway through, he mentioned something. He's like, yeah, well, you know, and then you started walking down the middle of the street. And I was like, not quite the middle, like the left. He's like, it looked like the middle to me. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, on the video, it looked like the middle. I was like, there's video? Are you serious?
Otherwise, I was like, you were hiding in the bushes the whole time?
And I was like, well, this is great. Then you know I'm telling the truth, right? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, so what did that other dude have
to say? Plus, we saw your YouTube footage.
Yeah. He's like, what did the other dude have to say? And he's like, yeah, the video didn't quite match his story. He's just a little bit wound up about it. And I was like, yeah, I embarrassed him a lot in the street. I can kind of see why. I was just going to leave it at that. But I guess that's what got him really riled up. And he's like, yeah, I think it's going to be fine. We'll send it to like the city attorney's office and they'll figure out if they want to press charges. So I might end up being a criminal. but immediately, obviously, the first thing I did was I need to go get my hands on this video. So it turns out there's an old folks home on the corner of our street and they have surveillance cameras. So I went in and very nicely got a copy of their video.
It was kind of uncool for him to go in there dressed like the angel of death, but it has a weird sense of humor.
Here's what the best part is. It's a great example of how you remember things differently than they actually happened. Like, your mind portrays things in a very different manner than they actually happened. Because I actually downplayed how aggressive that guy was. Like, even when I relate it to the cops, I just relayed what I remembered, which is he came out and pushed me. I got collar control and held him, and not a big deal. I went back and looked at the video. He comes out pissed. Takes a huge shove. I come in.
Is he doing that thing where he's kind of hopping backwards like he's going to swing?
No, he's doing the thing like he doesn't know how to fight. And he's doing that thing where he has his arm cocked all the way back like he's going to punch me. And I'm like, thank you for letting me know long beforehand whether or not you choose to punch. But so he comes back and he pushes me like 3 or 4 times pretty hard. And I'm very happy with myself because watching it in my mind, I don't even think of it as an altercation. I didn't even realize it. But I followed like the good rules of self-defense, which is somebody pushes you. Number one mistake people make is they try and turn around and walk away or something like that. Once somebody lays their hands on you, you never turn your back on them, ever. So he pushed me. I came right back up into his face. He kept pushing me super violently. I eventually grabbed wrist control on him, took his wrist down to his side so he couldn't be a threat anymore, then established collar control and held him out. But the best part that I completely forgot is at one point, he yells, "I'm a court officer." And I go, "You're a court officer and you blocked my driveway?" Oh, I was like, "All right, fine, fair enough. Let me go see what your license plate is. Let's talk about this court officer." And as soon as I go to the back, it's on the video, as soon as I go to the back of his car and start writing down his license plate, he announces, "I'm calling the police." And now it all makes sense. I was like, why would this guy call the cops on himself? Best case scenario for him, I might get some kind of like assault. But he might get vehicular assault, which is way worse. So, like, what is the impetus? And I realized, oh, he thought he was going to get in trouble. He's using the cops as, like, the I'm going to tattle first scenario to get out of, like, the trouble. And so I was laughing. Once I saw the video, I was laughing hysterically. As soon as the city attorney clears everything, I think we'll have to release the video and I'll have to show it because it's really, really funny. And you'll never see somebody go from puffed up, chest out, really aggressive, thinking something's going to happen to I am a court officer so quickly.
You didn't hear my story from earlier. If I had only known to yell at those guys when they were beating the shit out of me in the middle of the street that I was a court officer, maybe that would have alleviated the beating I took for trying to be having too much bravado.
No, this just proves the point, Ryan. You don't need violence, so you can just mock somebody incessantly in the street, and it's way more painful.
I would kind of actually want to test your vigilantism. If you're listening, Delia, John Dean and Baby Daddy. Remember that night we went out in the truck drinking? We're going over to the college area to visit Bobby and see if he can quell us throwing beer bottles at his front door.
You will all be laying on the floor of my garage waiting for the police to come.
Or at least a power tool of some kind. Woo!
Bring out the gimp.
I got to say one thing. I wish I was editing this episode because you had so many things that I could have isolated for our top drop of the week. There was, I just enjoy watching dudes. I could have cut out that know what they're doing in the cage. There was I took him from behind talking about that party. I could add so much stuff. Anyway,
thank you for giving me those.
No problemo. By the way, this is Ryan Shores for Dave Callens and Robert Timothy saying, see you next week, cruising with the twos. I got in awful big trouble for the N-word last week. I just enjoy watching dudes. I took him from behind.
Ooh, ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, ooh. Motherfucking time is passing.